Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Father Tang, for allowing me to share with you, brothers and sisters, the gospel today, and also share the mission that the church has entrusted me in Mexico. Like Father Tang said, my name is Father Rudy Valenzuela. I'm a friar of the Sikpur Los Angeles, and I'm here today to do the mission appeal on behalf of Clinica Santa Maria de Guadalupe in San Luis Rio, Colorado, Sonora, Mexico. It's a long name. That town is better known for its nickname, Hell. It's one of the hottest places on earth. This week we've been having temperatures of 115, 116, but we have hit 125. So I'm sad to say I come from hell. But I'm sadder to say that I'm going back to it. One day I was at home in Long Beach, because I used to live in Long Beach, and my superior comes to me and tells me, Rudy, the bishop in San Luis is asking for one of us to go there and start a clinic for the poor. And then he added, and I thought of you. And I looked at him and I said, you thought of me? Why don't you think of yourself and you go? I'm a nurse practitioner by trade. I have a nurse, PhD in nursing, and he probably thought that I knew how to start a clinic in Mexico. So off I went, and I met the bishop the first night, and really nice bishop. He died last year of COVID-related consequences. Really nice bishop. He had made dinner for me, and I thought, oh, my God, a bishop who's a chef. I never had that before. So really nice dinner. And that was the last time he invited me for dinner, by the way. And then after dinner, he says, Rudy, I'm going to take you to where you're going to be. He gets in the car and he starts driving. And I'm thinking, man, this is really good. I never had a bishop who was a chef and a driver. So he starts driving and getting out of town. And I start seeing less and less houses and more sand. He gets out on a plot of land. He gets out of the car and he says, Rudy, all this is yours. And I'm looking around, there's nothing there. And I said, Bishop, there's nothing here. And he says, well, that's why I brought you here, so you can start something. And he left me there. And I thought, well, I'll start the clinic, and then in a year, I'll go back to Long Beach. It's been 15 years, and I'm still there. They've been the most wonderful years of my life. I love the people, and Clinica Santa Maria de Guadalupe serves over 50,000 patients a year. We serve the poor and the sick in San Luis. We charge the equivalent of about $4 per consult or free if they cannot pay for it. We have physicians and dentists and psychologists and dietitians. We have a small section of the clinic where we can put patients on bed if they need to. We have a pharmacy and a lab. So if you ever find yourself or need a healthcare, come down to San Luis. We'll take care of you. Our mission in San Luis is not mainly to provide healthcare services. Our mission there is to be the healing presence of Christ among the poor. And people know that they can come to the clinic and be seen by a physician or by a nurse or whoever needs to see them without the fear of not being seen. We provide these healthcare services as part of the mission of the church. And to be the living presence of Christ among the poor is our main mission. Today, my dear brothers and sisters, as you know, the church is a body. It has different parts, and each part has a different function. So today you have the opportunity to become missionaries with me. I know that you cannot leave this wonderful weather and this wonderful city in wonderful California to go to Mexico to be missionaries, but you are equally missionaries, because our work cannot be possible without your generosity. And like me, there are thousands of priests, sisters, religious sisters, and lay people who are sent forth to other countries and other places to be that living presence of Christ among the poor. You become missionaries, allowing us, with your generosity, to do the work of the church among the poor. Just think of this. $20 of your generosity help us take care of one patient for a whole year. $20 help us take care of one patient for a whole year. With $50, we do miracles. With $100, we raise the dead from their tombs. So please, help me raise the dead from their tombs. There is no second collection today. There's a couple baskets. One is here and one is in the back. And I ask you to be generous to the missions, especially the mission in Mexico. You can write a check to St. Bruno, and on the memo line, you can write a mission appeal, and it'll eventually get to Mexico. If you didn't bring a check today, you can bring it next week or next month, whenever. It'll eventually get to the mission office, and they will eventually send it to Mexico. Don't write the check to me. I'll go to Las Vegas with it. But I also want to talk to you about these wonderful readings today. That's enough for the mission, because the Word of God today is wonderful, and I want to talk to you about it. The three great men that we hear about in the readings today, Elijah, Paul, and Peter, they find themselves in one way or another in battle, baffled, worried, anxious. They were not at peace. Elijah is running away from the king who wants to kill him. He's fearful. And Paul is filled with sadness when he sees his people that are not following Christ. And then we find Peter sinking on the ocean, sinking on the sea in front of Jesus due to his own fear and lack of faith. So we also ourselves can find ourselves just like these men, filled with fear, filled with grief, filled with difficulties, with despair. And we can also find ourselves lacking faith. We learn from the first reading that God came to Elijah at the appropriate time. He was not on the mighty wind, not on the earthquake, not on the fire. He was present on a tiny whispering sound. That teaches us that God comes in his own time. He comes in Chronos, God's time. I'm sorry, Kairos, God's time, not on our time. And many times, we demand from God that he answers our prayers promptly, at our command, as if God was our slave. We are used to ask and to pray for instant resolution of every difficulty that afflicts us. We are used to immediate gratification. I want this, and I want it now. We do not know how to wait for God's time. In today's gospel, the disciples experienced the storm of their lives. Just think of this. They were fishermen, and they were afraid on the ocean, on the sea. And Jesus comes down, walking upon the water to calm it, and equally restore their peace in the most difficult times of their lives. We must learn this from the gospel, my dear brothers and sisters. As you know, storms, darkness are part of our lives. They are inedible in this world, just as the waves are inedible on the ocean. Sometimes our illness, our difficulties, our problems hit us so hard that we are crushed, devastated, and almost wiped out of existence. Just like disciples of Jesus, each one of us experiences the storm in many different ways in our lives. And that takes away our peace. We are afraid. We don't know what to do. However, as we encounter Christ, our peace is restored. Our fear, our grief, our worries, even the greatest dangers that we may face and that we believe so real, disappear. But we must not think, however, that Jesus will come down from heaven to get us out of the same trouble that we ourselves got in. In today's gospel, we see that Peter, when he started to sink, he screamed out for help. Lord, save me. The gospel says that Jesus immediately stretched out his hand and caught Peter. Nowhere in the gospel says that Jesus took him out of the water. He just held him, steadied him in the middle of the storm. Then he calmed the storm and Peter returned to safety. When we are drowning, when it's all dark and cold and we see no hope, all we need to do is call out for help. Jesus, save me. Then Jesus will stretch out his hand and hold us. Peter was a fisherman. I'm sure he knew how to swim. And I'm sure it was not the first storm that he faced on his life. He had the means and abilities to survive, but needed Jesus to hold him by the hand in order to survive the storm. And he felt reassured by the stronghold of Jesus. We are also given the means and abilities to survive the storm. We have the sacraments, especially the Eucharist, the sacrament of reconciliation, that help us survive our storms. We have the grace of God, and we also have those who love us to survive our storms. The church is also a great source of strength in times of difficulty. As in today's readings, Jesus tells us too, like he said to his disciples, take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. So, my dear brothers and sisters, all we need to do is trust Jesus and keep walking in the middle of the storms of our lives without the fear of sinking. He's present among us. We must learn to find him in the tiniest whispering sounds of our hearts. Like Peter, we must also step out of the boat into the sea with faith and courage against the storm of our life. Therefore, let's do like Peter. Let us hold firmly on Jesus, who calms our storms and restores our peace.